Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. You'll find this on page 877 in the Bible that is in front of you. While you're turning there, I'd like to tell you about a story that I read when I was a student at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago, Illinois, back in the last century. Now, you'll be appalled by the story I'm about to tell you. Appalled, that is, if you have any kind of social conscience. A poor black living on Chicago's south side sought to have her apartment properly heated during the frigid winter months. And despite city law on this matter, her unscrupulous landlord refused to do so. The woman was a widow and desperately poor and ignorant of the legal system. And so she took her case to court on her own behalf. Justice, she declared, ought to be done. But it was her ill fortune, however, to appear repeatedly before the same judge who, as it turned out, was an atheist and a bigot. The only principle by which he lived was, as he put it, that blacks should be kept in their place. The possibilities of a ruling favorable to the widow, therefore, were bleak. They became even bleaker as she realized that she lacked the indispensable ingredient necessary for favorable rulings in cases like these, namely a satisfactory bribe. Nevertheless, she persisted. At first, the judge did not so much as even look up from reading the novel on his lap before dismissing her. But then he began to notice her. Just another black, he thought, stupid enough to think that she could get justice. Then her persistence made him self-conscious. This turned to guilt and anger. And finally, raging and embarrassed, he granted her petition and enforced the law. Here was a massive victory over the system, at least as it functioned in his corrupted court. Now, in telling you this story, I have not, of course, been quite honest. For this never really happened in Chicago, at least not as far as I know. Nor is it even my story. It is a story I've borrowed from David F. Wells, who in turn borrowed it from Jesus in a parable he told in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, to illustrate persevering in prayer. And I invite you now to stand as I read to you the parable of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Just so far in God's inspired and inerrant word. Let's pray. Father, we read this parable that Jesus told, and we recognize that it's important teaching. And as we look at this word today and study Jesus' teaching that he gave some 2,000 years ago, it's still relevant today for each one of us. And I pray that you would help us to understand what you are teaching us through Jesus' words in this parable. And I pray all of this in his name. Amen. Now, you may recall that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He was most likely in the final few weeks of his life before his death by crucifixion. And while Jesus was traveling toward Jerusalem, he taught his disciples many truths that he wanted them to understand and apply to their lives. Now, the context of the parable of the persistent widow here in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, is the previous pericope, which we studied last time. Some of you, by the way, the word pericope simply means a block or a section or a passage. And they were looking at my sermon and they said there's a spelling mistake. It should be periscope, but it's not a spelling mistake. It's pericope. A nice big word I learned at seminary, and I need to use it because I paid a lot of money to go to seminary. The previous pericope had Jesus answering the Pharisees' question about when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus told them that the kingdom of God was in their midst already. He was the king, and his presence indicated that the kingdom of God was now here. He is the king, and he rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of his disciples spiritually. And then Jesus immediately went on to tell his disciples that the kingdom was also not yet here. By that he meant that the establishment of his kingdom physically would only take place when he returned to earth a second time. Jesus' second coming would consummate his kingdom on earth. But between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, what should Jesus' disciples do until he comes back again? And that was the reason for the parable of the persistent widow here in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Commentator Norval Geldenhuis elaborates, and this is what he says. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37, the Savior emphasized the fact that no one will be able to determine in advance the time of his second coming. He now teaches in this parable that when his coming is apparently slow in taking place, believers are not to become discouraged, but should persist in prayer, knowing that he will indeed come at the right time and will answer their supplication by destroying the powers of evil and causing his chosen ones to triumph. The parable has, however, also a more general meaning, namely, that the faithful should persevere in prayer with regard to all other matters when the answer is not immediately granted. And so this parable, the parable of the persistent widow here in Luke chapter 18 verses 1 through 8, teaches us about persevering in prayer. And I want to use the following outline. First, the duty regarding persevering in prayer. Second, the illustration of persevering in prayer. Third, the lesson on persevering in prayer. And finally, the question about persevering in prayer. So first, let's look at the duty regarding persevering in prayer. In verse 1, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, as I said, this parable follows Jesus' teaching about his second coming. Jesus instructed his disciples what to do until he returned a second time. Jesus' disciples ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, this is a very interesting statement for a number of reasons. First, it's an interesting statement because Jesus told his disciples the point of the parable. Most of Jesus' parables don't state the point of the parable anywhere. But in this parable, Jesus told his disciples the point of the parable right up front. And he did so because he didn't want any misunderstanding or any confusion about what he was saying. Until he returns, Jesus said, his disciples ought always to pray and not lose heart. Second, it's an interesting statement because the word ought carries the idea of necessity or obligation. It's something which should be done as a result of compulsion, whether it's internal as a matter of duty or external as a matter of law or custom. Third, it's an interesting statement because the word always is a call to continued prayer, not in the sense of praying at all times, but in praying again and again. And fourth, it's an interesting statement because the phrase not lose heart means not to be faint or to become weary. And so the duty of Jesus' disciples is to persevere in prayer. And that is what Jesus tells us right up front. But now let's look at the illustration. Having told his disciples the point of the parable, Jesus went on to tell the parable itself. In verse 2, he said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man." Now, there's some question among Bible scholars whether this judge was Jewish or whether he was a paid magistrate by Herod or the Romans. Doesn't really matter. Regardless, this judge was utterly corrupt. He was godless, and he had no regard for people. Most likely, he was open to taking bribes and gave favors to people in authority. Continuing in verse 3, Jesus said, "And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" This poor widow need not have been very old. In those days, women married as young as age 13 or 14. I'm not sure I would want my 13-year-old to get married, but they did it in those days. And she was probably facing some financial difficulty. But in a patriarchal society, found it difficult to find anyone to plead her case. She had no money for a bribe and held no position of authority. And so she took it upon herself to get justice against her adversary. And Jesus said that for a while the corrupt judge refused to help her. But she persisted by going to him again and again. Because afterwards the judge said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." So why did the judge give her justice? Because he couldn't get rid of her. She kept coming to him again and again. She was bothering him. She wouldn't accept no for an answer. And then interestingly, that comment about "she will beat me down" actually in the Greek means to hit under the eye, which is to give a black eye. The judge felt like he was getting a black eye from this widow because of her perseverance. Now, what is the lesson in this parable? In verse 6, the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says." The corrupt judge gave justice to the widow. He did it because she was beating him down. She was persevering in her effort to get justice. She wouldn't let go. She kept bothering him. She went again and again and again and again until he finally said, "I've had enough. I'll give it to you. Get the justice that you want." And here's the point. In complete contrast to the unrighteous judge, Jesus went on to ask two rhetorical questions in verse 7. "And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" Yes, of course God will give justice to his elect. That's why Jesus said in verse 8, "I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." And so the lesson, what is the lesson on persevering in prayer? Commentator Kent Hughes answers this way. And I want you to pay attention because I think this is very important. He said, this parable's lesson has often been greatly misunderstood because most people think it teaches that feverish importunity, troublesome persistence in prayer is a virtue. Untold numbers of servants have wrongly used this text to teach that we must frantically beg God to answer our prayers. This is not the idea at all. He goes on to say, the parable of the unjust judge and the pestering widow is a parable of contrast. The clear lesson of the parable is that God is not like the judge, for God is good and gracious, and we are not like the nameless widow, for we are His chosen ones. So a distressing bugging of God is in fact inadequate prayer. The judge in Jesus' parable was unrighteous, ungracious, unloving, unmerciful, unkind, unjust. In contrast, our God is righteous, gracious, loving, merciful, kind, and just. He is our Heavenly Father. He delights to answer the prayers of His children who come to Him with their praises and their petitions. The widow in Jesus' parable was unknown and insignificant. But Christians are known by God, and we have significance because we are His elect. And so because of who God is and who we are, there is no need at all to beg God frantically for answers to prayer. No, God is our loving Heavenly Father who delights to answer the prayers of His elect children. Now, C. Samuel Storms has written a book on prayer called Reaching God's Ears. And he addresses this issue of feverish importunity, sort of bugging God with our prayers. And he poses some relevant questions in his book that we can use to ask ourselves as we approach God in prayer. And this is what he says. Do we repeat a request because we think that the quality of a prayer is dependent upon the quantity of words? Or do we repeat a request because we think that God is ignorant and needs to be informed? Or if not ignorant, at least He is unconcerned and therefore needs to be aroused? Or do we repeat our prayers because we believe that God is unwilling to answer and we must prevail upon Him, somehow transforming a hard-hearted God into a compassionate and loving one? Or do we repeat a petition because we think God will be swayed in His decision by our putting on a show of zeal and piety, as if God cannot see through the thin veil of hypocrisy? And those are great questions. But does that mean that we should never prevail or persevere in prayer? No, not at all, because Jesus Himself taught in this parable that our duty is always to pray. That is, we are to persevere in prayer. Why? Because our God, unlike the unrighteous judge in the parable, is righteous and gracious and loving and merciful and kind and just, and He delights to answer the prayers of His elect. We're not going to a God who's indifferent or uncaring. He invites us. He wants us. Bring me your prayers. We persevere in prayer, not because we think that many words will get His attention, but because we know that He cares for us as a father cares for his children, and He will hear us. Did you know that God answers every single prayer of His elect? If you are a child of God, God answers every single one of your petitions. And you may say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, God answers every petition in one of four ways. First, sometimes God says no. He knows that our petition is not in accordance with His will, even though we may think it is. But God is sovereign. He knows everything. He knows what His will is for us. And so sometimes He says, that is not my will for you. And His answer is a simple no. Second, sometimes God says slow. The timing of our petition is not right, and God slows us down. What we are requesting, He will grant, but not at this time. And so He says, slow down. Not yet, but later I will grant that petition to you. Third, sometimes God says, grow. We ask for something in our petition, and God knows that we are not yet mature enough. And we have to mature in Christ. And so He says, grow. And then finally, sometimes God answers and He says, go. Our petition is in line with God's will. And the timing is right. And we are mature enough to receive it. And God says, yes, that is what I have for you. So go. So God answers every single petition of His elect. Either no, slow, grow, or go. And one of the great challenges for every Christian is to discern God's answer to each one of our petitions. Nevertheless, that is what Christian maturity produces, an increasing conformity to praying in accordance with the will of God. And so the lesson in this parable, the parable of the persistent widow, is that God is not like the unrighteous judge. For our God is good and gracious, and we are not like the nameless widow. For we are His elect, we are His children. And then finally, I want us to look briefly at the question regarding persevering in prayer. Jesus ended the parable with a question in verse 8 where He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Jesus was saying to His disciples, when I come back, what will I find? Will I find faithful, believing, praying disciples? Would He find His disciples praying for His return? Essentially, praying the Lord's Prayer, particularly, Your kingdom come. That the kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus is coming to consummate and establish physically and visibly, are we praying for that kingdom? When all wrongs will be righted, when the gospel spreads out to the ends of the earth, and so that the people, men and women, boys and girls, from every people and tribe and nation and tongue will hear about the Lord Jesus and come to know Him savingly, that they will be with Him for all eternity. Are we praying for that? How are we praying? And Kent Hughes sums it up well when he says, Jesus was saying that continual prayer until He comes is not only the evidence of faith, but the means of building faith until He returns. And so, as we look at the parable of the persistent widow, we just apply what Jesus told His disciples. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. Lee Eklov was my senior pastor under whom I served when I graduated from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And I recently read where he said that he was surprised to read a post on Facebook from a friend in South Dakota. He grew up in South Dakota, This friend's name was Diane, and she wrote on Facebook these words. Had a nice surprise last night. At about 10:30 p.m., the phone rang. It was Governor Mike Rounds checking in with us to see how the road repair was going. And Lee went on and he said there'd been a lot of flooding in the area where Diane lives, and the roads were a mess. And the governor actually called her to see how she felt the road repairs were going. When Lee wrote Diane to express his surprise, she said it wasn't the first time a governor had called her. Another time, some years ago, one of the South Dakota's previous governors called about some FEMA money for the area. She told Lee that when the governor called, she was in the middle of a home perm, and she couldn't very well tell the governor to hold while she rinsed her hair. And she added, that frizzy hair haunted me for weeks. I suppose she called it the governor's perm. Lee noted that he knew that South Dakota was a small state. But this was incredible to him. He asked Diane if she was in county government or something, and she said she wasn't. Sensing that he was blown away by her interactions with government, she had this to say. I have found that shaking the tree from the top gets the fastest results. When there is a problem, I usually become the squeaky wheel, and I think they just want to get me off their case. And Lee's conversation with Diane made him think of the parable that Jesus told in Luke 18, 1 through 8, the one about the persistent widow and the judge who finally relented and granted her request. Friends, the good news is that when we pray, we don't have to become the squeaky wheel. We can go straight to the top and petition God for answers to prayer, particularly for the consummation of Jesus' kingdom. And God delights to answer the prayers of His elect because He is righteous and gracious and loving and merciful and kind and just. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus has come. He has lived and died to pay the penalty for the sin of His elect. His kingdom has now come, but it is not yet consummated. One day Jesus will return again and set up His visible physical kingdom on earth at that time. But the question Jesus asked His disciples in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, is the same question He asks His disciples today. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Yes, He will, if we have turned to Him in faith and repentance, and we have learned to live a life of prayer in the not yet. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Jesus' parable of the persistent widow. He taught that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. Father, we know that there are two aspects of the kingdom. It is now here, and it is also not yet here. It is now here in the sense that Jesus has already come. He has established the spiritual nature of His kingdom, and He calls men and women, boys and girls, to enter His kingdom by repenting of our sin and believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But Jesus' kingdom is not yet here, in the sense that He has not yet returned to earth to set up His kingdom in a visible and physical manner. And until Jesus returns, enable all of us who are His disciples always to pray and not lose heart. And for this I pray in Your name. Amen.